comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind is not set on the flesh, that is not set on the flesh, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the sin of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God. Pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as individuals and corporately, as a church, so your church, but the church as a whole, we face some tough realities. I'm sure that's not totally a surprise to you. We have some financial stress. We have broken relationships. We have failing health, aging populations. We've made mistakes, and there's division and polarization everywhere we look. And the overall weariness of it all really gets to us. When we face these challenges and they seem to have no end in sight, we tend to just enter survival mode. We stop dreaming because dreaming feels too risky or too far out of our reach. We begin to only see everything that seems to be wrong. Our vision and our focus are often shaped by our circumstances, but the gospel has always been about teaching people to see things differently. Some biblical examples to this might include when God called Abraham. He was an old man with no children. When God called Moses, asking him to lead an entire nation. You remember, Moses didn't want to do that. David looked at Goliath, and everyone else saw this impossible giant, but David saw a defeated enemy. And when Jesus looked at the fishermen and his disciples, he saw world changers, shakers, and movers. God has always invited his people to see beyond their present circumstances and reality. As Paul was writing to the church in Rome in this letter that we just read, they were in the midst of some harsh realities too. They were facing persecution, division, and fear. Yet in Romans 8, it's Paul's invitation to do exactly just as I described, to see things differently and look beyond their current reality. Paul begins the chapter with, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Before we even begin to dream about a greater future for ourselves and our church, we have to be set free from the weight of it all that is holding us down. Things like guilt and shame and the feeling of not being enough or not having enough will all stop our dreaming potential. In this verse, we are reminded by Paul that the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set us free. There's nothing in this letter that says that there are going to be no problems, no struggles, and no suffering. Yet Paul is saying that our reality has changed, even if our circumstances have not. We are set free. So if God doesn't let our past dictate our future, then why do we let it do that? Our current reality is a result of our past actions and decisions, yet Christ has set us free, and we can look forward toward our future, even if it's messy. Our past and our failures no longer have the final word. In the middle part of the scripture, then, in verses 5 through 8, Paul really begins to paint a picture of contrasting a mindset in the flesh versus a mindset in the spirit. In verse 5, he writes, "For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So Paul often illustrates, has his illustrations, if you've read any of his letters, using images of the body and the flesh. So, for example, in Corinthians, he speaks about unity, and the image he uses there is all the parts of the body and how important it is and how every part is needed. And in today's scripture, he's talking about flesh, but instead of literal flesh, he's talking about our human limitations and our earthly realities. The Spirit represents our faith and unlimited possibilities grounded in God. It poses this question of, where are we focused as individuals and as the body of Christ? To set our minds on something or focus on something means we align our imaginations and our dreams there. If we only set our minds on what we can see and touch and on our human limitations, then we'll only ever build a future that we alone can sustain. To reorient our focus to the Spirit, we have to begin to transform our asking and thinking from what is possible based on my or our resources to what is possible based on God's Spirit. We begin to shift to God-sized dreaming. At the end of the passage, in verse 11, Paul reminds us that if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit that dwells in you. So let's read that one more time. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Think about that. Do you know what that means? That same power that conquered the grave and breathed life back into the crucified body of Jesus Christ is currently residing in, among, and around us. If that same resurrection power lives in us, then why do we dream such small, safe dreams? Why do we look at ourselves, our communities, our families, and our church and just assume that where we are right now is as good as it gets or that our past was so much better and it's only going to decline from here? The great news, though, is that today's scripture reminds us that the resurrection means that God takes what we might see as ruin and a dead end and breathes new life and resurrection into it. It means that our current reality is not our final destination. So today I want to challenge us a bit, if you haven't noticed, to be people that shift our focus and our perspective toward God-sized vision and dreams. In order to do this, we have to make some changes. First, we have to shift from our sight to God's vision for us. Our sight sees the decreasing giving and declining budgets, the seats that are emptier than they used to be, the rising costs just to maintain and repair our aging buildings, and the endless needs around us. Vision, through God, is fueled by the Spirit and allows us to see what is possible through the power of God. It allows us to see beyond our current circumstances. And then we have to inventory our imaginations. What are we spending our mental energy on? Are we worrying about the worst-case scenario, or are we dreaming about what God could do if we stepped out in faith? Our faith allows us to believe that God's future is greater than today's reality. What if our greatest days aren't behind us? What if our biggest ministry hasn't happened yet? And what if our greatest impact hasn't even started? What if the thing that currently feels like an end is actually God's beginning for us? What is a dream for your life, your family, your church, your community, or even something bigger beyond that? That is so big that it will fail unless God shows up. I would ask you to start praying for that this week. Do not let the limitations of today blind you and hold you back from the glory that is to come. The Spirit in you is restless for renewal. It's time for us to stop managing our survival and start imagining our revival. If you were at annual conference, some of you might have been, Chris Sledge was our Bible study leader this year. He's an elder in the Susquehanna Conference, our neighboring conference. And he reminded us in that Bible study that we are a movement people, not a monument. It's time for us to begin holy dreaming that leads us to a movement beyond what we could ever imagine on our own, because God will show up. And as our founder, John Wesley, reminds us, the best of all is God is with us. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts and forgive us for dreaming small dreams. Break our hearts and our minds out of the limitations of right now. As you raise Christ from the dead, raise our expectations, expand our vision, and give us the holy courage to dream a future greater than we could ever imagine. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.